Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
We are in a series that's an annual drum that we beat because of the importance of what we're talking about today. Now, these things that we're talking about are things that we aspire to as a church. When you think of aspiring for something, or maybe some of you are aspiring for something, what are some of those things that come to mind? Go ahead and shout it out. Health, aspiring for health, being healthier. Peace, aspiring for peace, striving for peace. What else? Being a what? Being a light. Yep, reflecting Jesus well, carrying his name, representing him well. What else?
Growth.
Absolutely. Continuing to grow and fighting for, striving. These things that we're talking about are things that we aspire to, that God has laid out some things, and that is our focus, the trajectory of the church. That's what our aim is. When you think of family, what are things that come to mind? Dysfunctional. From the gate. Boom. She said it. What else? What? Love? What else? Disagreements. What?
Unity.
Joy?
Stress.
Sickness, sports, work, parenting, kids, sadness, happy, laughing, crying, right? Everything in between. Family is complicated. There's a lot to it. There's joys, there's good days, there's bad days. We're talking about the family of God, and we're talking about aspiring to be the family of God that God has laid out for us. Now, last week, we laid this foundation of one faith. We're looking in the book of Ephesians. If you want to turn there now on your phones, we're going to be in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2, looking at a couple passages. But we're looking at the book of Ephesians because Ephesians is a roadmap for the church. As the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned and followed the Spirit saying to the church, this is what the church is to be about. These are things that we are to hold firm to. Last week, we laid the foundation with having one faith. There are important things that we believe as a church. There are important doctrines and teachings that we hold firm to. Some we hold really firm to. And we'd say these are salvation issues. In order to be a Christian, you have to believe these things according to the Word of God. This is what God says is of utmost importance in being saved, in being a Christian. Now, when we look at those things, we can go about it two different ways. We can go and look at, for the church, how do we go about being the church? What do we believe and hold on to? We can look at what other people are doing. What are other churches doing? What are all of the copies and different flavors and different hot things that we could go and say, yes, let's do that. Oh, yeah, that feels good. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Or I like that. We could do that. Or we could go back to God's original prescription, design, and purpose of the church and seek to hold to those. And that's what we do at Real Life Ministries. We seek to be real, to be true to God's original design of the church. And with that, there's faith that is essential in that, things that we hold firm to. There's some things that aren't related to salvation that are important according to the Word of God that we can hold loose to, that they're not saving us. We can have different opinions about them, but we still need to be on the same page about how we're going to go about some of those differences or what we are going to hold to in that. So there's salvation issues. There are issues that are essential for unity that we hold on to, and so on. Today, we're talking about, in addition to faith, we're also called to be a family. And then next week, we're talking about the church being the body. The church has a function. It has a role, which you have a part in that. And God has given us gifts to use, to bless others, to serve others, to build the church. So we're talking about the church being the family today. I want to read Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. God decided to adopt you. Let's look at this. Ephesians 1, 3. All praise to God, the key word, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, this was a song that we were singing earlier, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Let's look at that again. Let's walk through that. So praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is a father. God is a father. He is a good father. And in order to be a father, it means you have to have a son. Jesus Christ is the Father's son. And it has always been that way. God has always been a father. Jesus has always been the son. Jesus is God. And in the next text we'll look at, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God too. That is a belief that we hold to firmly in the church. That's what the early church believed, and we are not letting that go. It's essential to our faith. And in that, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, meaning being a part of God's family, there are certain blessings that are a part of God's family. Even in here, looking among some of these families, being a part of your family has certain blessings in being a part of that family. Everybody does family differently. Everybody parents different. Everybody grandparents different. Some have grandparents that are engaged with their kids, and that is a rich blessing. Grandkids are involved. They know the grandparents are involved with their kids. They love them, serve them. They spend time with. They get that. Other kids being a part of your family get loved and nurtured and cared for. Others laugh a lot. Others kids being a part of certain families see parents work really hard, and so they have good quality, integrity, and work ethic. Others kids in some of these families have amazing spiritual foundations being laid and walking through some amazing spiritual truths. Some have a lot of resources, and there is a blessing. They're world travelers and being able to go to all sorts of rare places, amazing places, and different experiences. Others have had simpler experiences, and they spend more time out in the woods or camping or whatever it is. When you think of your family in view of it being different than others, with the friends and the network that you have, what are those blessings that it means to be a you? What are those blessings that it means to be in your family and to be a part or to do life with you? There are. As parents, it's really easy to beat ourselves up and go, I didn't do very good, or I look at all the bad. It's not true. It's not true. There are things that you have done that are good and you are doing that are good. And there are things that you bring to the table that are good. And you need to hold to those as well. To be a Lessard, there are benefits in being in the Lessard's household. And there's some drawbacks as well, right? In being a part of God's family, there are blessings in being a part of God's family. They're at the fingertips. When it comes to being a part of God's family, what are some of those blessings that are a part of being a Christian now? Let's shout some out. What?
Healing.
There is healing going on.
Companionship.
There's companionship, not alone. There's guidance. We're not alone, left just to wander and kick in the dirt and in the dark, but there is a spiritual guidance inside. What else?
Grace.
There's grace. There's mercy. There's compassion. There's kindness. What else?
Love.
There's love to fill our hearts, to lead us, to guide us, to warm our hard hearts. What else?
Hope.
There's hope for here, for now, that God is good, God's real, as well as hope in the future. Every spiritual blessing is available to you. Now, it all doesn't come to fruition right here, right now, but it is here and you have it. It's a part of being the family. When you think of the prodigal son story, and the older son was really critical of the younger son because of the stupid choices the younger son had done, and then the younger son comes back, the father warmly embraces him, and then the older son is ripping the dad a new one. And the father's response to the older son was, "All I have is yours." That's the same way. That's the same way. So who has blessed us, you, in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because you are united with Christ? All that Christ has is yours now. You have belonging, you have hope, you have joy, you have peace, you have acceptance, you have healing, you have redemption, you have grace, you have mercy. Those things are true now. What's the problem then? We don't always believe it. We don't always receive it. Because there's some old things at play as well. And that's where the text goes. Notice, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us to be apart and holy and without fault. God decided in advance to, that's what we're talking about, adopt. Adopt. If you, the majority of us were not adopted. The majority of us know at least a parent or both of our parents. And even some of us had both of our parents still intact, engaging as mom and dad. It's amazing. Some in the world aren't as fortunate. And there is instilled an orphan mindset in order to live, in order to survive. Even in some of our families where there was parents intact, there was some orphan mindset that was created. When you think of an orphan mindset, what are things that come to mind? Loneliness, I'm all alone. Mindset, thinking, I believe. Rejection, I'm not accepted. What else? Low self-esteem, I don't feel good. Nobody showed me that I'm valuable, and so I don't feel good about myself.
Despair,
I do not have, where's the hope? Where's the hope? What else?
No support.
I'm in it by myself. I'm in it by myself. Nobody's there to rescue me. Nobody's there to help me.
Lack of identity.
Who am I? What is the foundation that's being laid for me? And what am I called to? And what am I to do? And what am I not to do? And where's that guidance? Lack of trust. If I let people in, if I get too close, I'm going to get hurt. If I don't have my guard up or be super vigilant in who I'm letting in, I'm going to get hurt, right? And on and on and on goes the list. Don't trust anyone. You're on your own. Nobody's going to look out for you. You have to look out for yourself, right? Or you have to learn how to read people and manipulate situations. If you want certain approval or affection or attention, whatever it is, those desperate, God-given desires you need, but you go about it a broken way in order to achieve it. Or don't be honest with people, because if you're honest with people, then they're going to reject you, right? Anybody ever struggle with any of those? Anybody ever think you've been alone, on your own? Nobody's going to do it. You have to do it yourself. Don't be honest. Don't keep that to yourself. Don't let them in. If you let them in, they're going to hurt you. Keep your guard up. Keep your arms stiff. Don't be too vulnerable. It will hurt. Anybody ever think that way? That's an orphan mindset. That's an orphan mindset. Those beliefs, those thinkings are from the world and from Satan. That's what he wants you to think. He wants you to think, don't trust anyone. He wants you to think you're rejected, you're a failure, nobody wanted you. He wants you to think you screwed up too much, you can't be loved. He wants you to think, don't let them close, don't let them know about. He wants you to think you're on your own and nobody is there to help you, to protect you. That's exactly what Satan wants you to think. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us to be in Christ. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us into him through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're adopted into God's family and you've been learning, oh, it's safe here. Oh, he's a good dad. Oh, he actually provides for his kids and he loves his kids and he is always at work and he's safe. He's not going to be harsh and he's not going to be mean and he's not going to be making fun of me. He has my best interests in mind. I can get close and it's okay. Oh, I can put my guard down and I can trust. I can learn to trust again, right? Okay, if that's true, years with the Father, you learn to grow. He's safe, he's good, he's powerful, yet he's kind. He does discipline because there is truth, but he knows exactly how to do it right. I'm not abused, I'm not misused, I don't feel guilt and shame. He doesn't make me sit and grovel for forgiveness, right? He's a good dad. So other people are being adopted into the family as well, right? It's part of them being the family. As new orphan kids come into the family, what would your role be as having been in the family and been in relationship with the Father and others that have been adopted into the family? What would your role be for those new, no longer orphans? Yeah, welcome them. What else? Guide them. What else? Encourage them. What else? Love them. Build friendship, right? You are my brother now. You are my sister now. You are a part of God's family now, right? It's called discipleship, right? We are with the Father now, and you belong now, and you are a part of the family, and you are my brother, and you are my sister, and we get to do this together, being loved by the Father, loving one another. And he has redefined the family. You are no longer an orphan. I love it. Blew my mind when I read this Friday. John 14:18. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. No joke, Jesus' words. I will not leave you as orphans. Because, as Romans 8 says, we have been given the spirit of adoption, that he has purchased us and brought us into his family, that we are not orphans. We are not of the world and the world's ways and the orphan mindset. Now, when you accept Jesus, does all of that just go away? No. We're still a part of the family, and he's working through, sloughing off. And as we participate with the Spirit and with the Father, we let go of those orphan mindset things and learn, wow, I really can trust him that much, and he really is that safe, and what he has for me in and through the family is life-changing and hard heart softening. I can receive brothers and sisters. Okay, so there's the first text. Let's build off of that, okay? Ephesians 2:18-19-22. Now all of us can come to the, through the same, because of what? Christ. Look at that. There's the Trinity right there. Bam, right in your face. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in perfect union, in perfect partnership, relationship, one God, three persons, always has been, because of what the Father has done, because of what the Spirit has done, because of what the Son has done, you're in. And so now you Gentiles, meaning you were not naturally born a Jew, you were outside of being the Jewish family, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're no longer outsiders. You're no longer orphans. You are citizens along with God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's what we're going to. What was laid thousands of years before us, that's what we're coming back to be true to. And the cornerstone is Christ himself. So we're carefully joined together with him, becoming a holy temple of the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of his dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. That's how close he wants to be with us, that his Spirit would be literally in us, leading us, guiding us, joining us together to be his family. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Okay, so let's get into this. A few points that I want to draw from this. So what does it mean to be a part of God's family? It means you are expected some things. To be an Allen, Dave and Tina Allen, to be an Allen, it means you are expected to be, do, not do certain things to be a part of the family, right? To be a Booth, it means you are expected to be a part of the family in certain ways, right? To be a Sims, right? To be a Donnell, it means to be a Lessard. There are certain family things that it means, right? In God's family, it means you are expected to accept the fact that you are accepted. You are accepted, meaning he knows it all. It says, before he created the world, he chose you. By his divine pleasure, in other words, in literal translations, his will was you are a part of the family. To be a part of the family means you are accepted. So to do this move, you're in the family and you're stiff-arming everyone and everything in him is not being a part of the family. You're sitting back in the corner and you're hiding. I want nothing to do with anyone. Sorry. I won't do that again. You are in and you have been accepted. You belong. So we set aside that orphan mindset of, I don't fit in. I don't belong here. I don't know anyone. If they know me, they won't love me. You are accepted. You're accepted, warts and all. You and me alike. You and me alike. You are accepted. You are as much a part of the family as anyone else. I remember, you know, a lot of you know a lot of my story and just a lot of rejection of the church and a rejection of Jesus and just doing the hard way and trying to figure out, oh, there is a God. Oh, he is good. Oh, he is forgiving. Well, in that, as I came to know the Lord, 8 years later, I was hired on as a pastor with Real Life Ministries. And then 8 years in, I found myself in this meeting with other fellow community pastors talking about life groups and home groups and the details of the small groups. And we were in some pretty extensive and intense meetings. And one of the days that we started, the guy that was leading the meeting, he says, hey, let's talk about expectations, what it means to engage in this day. What are some things you can expect of me as a facilitator in leading this meeting? Some shout it out, oh, you know, this and that, you know, this and that. And what can we expect, what should we all expect from each of you in engaging in this meeting? Like, oh, wow, I can't just sit back and just, I don't fit in, I don't belong, these guys have been pastors longer than I have, or whatever. They have this group, and I'm not a part, and I can just sit back and let this happen. It wasn't the case. It changed in my mind. There was a reason I was there, and I did not have the luxury of just sitting back, letting things happen, and allowing other people to make decisions anymore. I was just as much a part of the family as the next person. I had just as much a seat at the table as the next person. And so even though there's different roles and responsibilities and even different authority positions, there is a reason you are there. You are just as much a part of the family as anyone is. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason you're a part of the family. To be a part of God's family means that you accept the reality that you're accepted. You are in. In addition to that, what does it mean to be a part of God's family? It means you are expected to accept others just as much as you have been. The door is still open. Jesus has not come back yet. He could come back in 500 more years. Right? We want him to hurry up, but he could come back in 500 years. He could have numerous kids that have not been born yet that will accept him and ask for forgiveness and be received into the family. And that's what he would much rather have. That's up to him. And until then, the door is open. The door is open. And as long as the door is open, those that are in the family, which is how many of you, which is who of you, raise your hands loud and proud. I am a part of God's family. Praise God, right? And the door's still open. So everyone who still is, we're still at the front doors going, hey, come on in. The water's nice. God is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. And for those that come in, we help them in. You've been a part of the family for how long? You help other kids in. And you help them in the family, know the family, that they are loved and accepted. It's called discipleship. It's the great calling of the church. And we help them in, warts and all, warts and all. We are to accept others. That's real. It's a part of being the family. You can't love Pat Lessard, knowing him well, and hate Lisa Lessard. We are not going to be tight. It's not going to work well. Likewise, you can't know Tom Booth and love Tom Booth and then hate Diana Booth. It does not work in relationship. If you're going to love Jesus, you love his girl too. You love his bride. You love his sweetheart, his church. It's both. It's inclusive on that level. And then with that, and just thinking about being a parent, I have four kids from 18 to 9. As a parent of multiple kids, one of the greatest joys of a parent is seeing your kids get along well. One of the greatest joys, especially as they get older because they're more independent and they have more choice in the matter and more say, right? It warms my heart as a parent to see kids get together and play with each other well. Anybody else relate? Where do you think you got that? Your Heavenly Father. God. God gave you that. You got that parenting heart from him. And when the opposite, let's carry it out, when the opposite is true and kids are not getting along well and you see them being arrogant and you see them being nitpicky and you see them being selfish and self-centered and self-absorbed, you see them be mean, how does that hurt your parenting heart? It does. It hurts. It grades on you. It does not sit well for a reason. Where do you think you got that? That's our Heavenly Father. He looks at it the same way. We got that from him. The calling is that we would love one another. The calling is that we would fight hard to love one another. The calling is that we would fight for relationships. We're in this family. Stuck, like it or not, here you are, here I am, here you are, here we are. And our dad wants us to get along. How many times as a parent have you said, get along, figure it out, right? Stop fighting and just get along. Where do you think you got that? It ties into the next one. What does it mean to be a part of God's family? It means you are expected to accept the family rules. Expected to accept the family rules. There are rules, being part of the family. For some, this plays out in different ways. For some of us, we care an immense amount, because it matters, we care an immense amount about accurate truth. We care an immense about truth being preached well, being taught well, being upheld to orthodoxy, doctrine, that we would be true to the very things that God says are important. And we hold to that. And sometimes those that hold firmly to accurate doctrine hold loosely to straight up being nice. You want to hold firm to the letter and what it says, but you want to hold loose to the heart. And for the sake of truth, it's okay to steamroll other people and just be disrespectful. That makes no sense. If you truly understand true orthodox doctrine, it changes your heart and how you handle tender, sensitive, immature, underdeveloped people. It is both. And so for some of us, we need part of the family rule is that we would be both honest and kind. We'd be both honest and kind. In the Bible's way of saying it, it's grace and truth. Jesus was perfectly grace and truth. We are to be honest and kind. Some of you are really good at being honest. It's fantastic. It's important, right? But you need to grow in being kind. Some of you are really good at being kind, and that is sweet, and that is easy to receive, but you're not very honest. But you don't say it. You don't fight for a relationship in whatever's in the way. It takes both. If you're going to do it, it takes both. You have to be honest. You have to be real and kind. It is a delicate balance of both, but they are worth it, according to the Father. With that, in addition to that, there is the big C church, and then there's the little C church, and the big C church does come first. You can't love Jesus and hate his bride. You can't hate the church. You have to. To love Jesus is to accept the church. His amazing church is beautiful. It's wonderful, and throughout the world, it looks very different throughout the world. So there's a big C love. But then there's a little c love too. And there's a faithfulness that we are called to be a part of the little c church. That some people, that they treat the little c church, by that I mean local church like this, or Cause, or One Place, or Canvas, or Candlelight, or the altar, or, right? Some people treat the little C church like it's a girlfriend. And I'm going to go to this girlfriend when I want to. I'm going to go to this girlfriend when I want to. I'm going to go to this girlfriend when I want to. And I'm going to go to this girlfriend when I want to. And I'm tired of this girlfriend, and I like this girlfriend. I like what this girlfriend offers, and I'm just going to go. And I'm actually not going to be committed to any. I'm not going to actually marry anyone. Just the benefits, the freedom and flexibility, and the comfort it brings to not be committed. That is absurd, according to God's word. The book of Ephesians was written to the Ephesian church, the church in Ephesus. The book of Galatians was written to churches in the area of Galatia. There are parts of the world that the church exists, and it would be absurd for pastors to hear of a people going from one church to another church in this area because there's just a lot of them. That is not how God designed it, that we would be uncommitted to his local C church. It's not how it works. If you're going to be at the Cause, and there are so many amazing little C churches in this area, I love it. And I love visiting them. On vacation, it's one of my favorite things to do, and I've been at about 10 of them in this area. If you're going to go be a part of the altar, be all in. If you're going to go be a part of the cause, be all in. You want to go visit them? Go visit them, like on vacation. But where are you going to be true to? You can't have family with girlfriends. What are you going to do? Are you going to pick? What does it mean to be a part of the church? It also means to be real, to choose real relationships. To have friends, you have to be a friend. To have friends, you have to be a friend. Do you find yourself lonely? Do you find that there's something missing? Do you find yourself spinning, twiddling your thumbs? Are you needing to press in? In order to have friends, you actually have to be a friend. Make yourself helpful. Make yourself available. Be a shoulder to cry on. Press in to uncomfortability. Let that pain of loneliness drive you. Let God use that to drive you in to go, I need to figure out where I can connect. I need to figure out who I can be involved with. I need to figure out how to be a friend. That's a part of being the family. And then lastly, do your chores. Love that part. How many of you have dogs? Dogs produce something. What do you have to do? Right? Yeah. How many of you make dirty dishes? How many of you cook? Right? And you make dirty dishes, right? And then you have carpet or a floor, right? And the oil needs to be changed. That's real. That is real. Next week is what we're talking about. We're talking about the chores. Being a part of the family, there's a body, and it requires us doing our part together, not just sitting back on the couch, whoever the heck you are, sitting back on the couch watching them vacuum or them clean the dishes or just waiting for the meal to be prepared and we're just sitting back. That's not being a part of the family. Being a part of the family means we all do our part. And when we all do our part and shoulder that load, it works really well. It works really well. Let's finish up with this. Know it, feel it, do it. Know it. Know what it means to belong and what it means for others to belong. What it means to be a part of the family. Feel it. If there's something missing in your church life, let that pain, as God uses pain in our lives to motivate change, let that pain push you to change, to do something different. If you don't do anything different, you're going to keep getting what you've got. If you want something different, you have to do something different. And then lastly, do it. Choose to be honest, be kind. Choose to be true to your little C church, wherever that is. Choose to be a friend and choose to do your chores. More on that on next week. With that, we have an amazing Heavenly Father that we get to praise, that we get to proclaim, that we get to thank. And that's what we're going to do right now, singing a song and praising His name. And God, You are a good dad. Thank You for how You've been good to me. If you're not in the family yet and you're on the outside, it's not an accident that you're here. Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, pointing you to the Son as the Father is drawing you to Him. Come in. Come in. If you need help in starting a relationship with God, a personal, intimate relationship with God, we'd love to help you. We'd love to help you be brought back to the Father. There's going to be some people over here to pray. If you need prayer for anything, please come over. Let's pray for you. With that, would you guys stand up with me?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.